The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on, everyone. You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Crackles.
And you know the password. Wake up. It's night. Wherever you are. In this big, wide world. You are here. And we are there. It's me, the difficult historian. The pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting. The godfather of internet radio. The bard of broadcasting. The man whose name adorns the title of the show, Frank Cthulhu. This is Cthulhu Chronicles. Y2K plus 17. We don't know how the hell we got here, but as long as we're here, let's stay a while. The buzzword is buzz. And this ain't nothing, burgers. This is the real thing. Various nefarious. Great news on the horizon. Dr. David Rice is with us. So is Dusty Nathan, we think. What a trio. Stay with us. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. Here come the vegetable man. Vegetable. The vegetable man. My name is Frank Cthulhu. My name is the title show. And we are here again on another March. What's the date? We're almost mid-March. We're almost at the Ides. Well, the Ides have it. We're almost at the Ides of March, and that will bring us into the next month. So it's the same every year, you know, and thank goodness we're here to see it every year and talk to you about it. As we go down the Hallelujah Trail, never have we been this far down the trail, because when we started some 17, 18 years ago, 19, 20 years ago, that was the beginning of the road. And even then, there were so many times along the way we didn't think we were going to make it this far. But here we are now. And this is a marvelous time to be alive. You know why? Because anytime you're alive, it's a marvelous time to be alive. That's right, my friends. The Sunshine Machine is now blowing it right into your ears. And as usual, I spent, I don't know, 45 minutes before the prep for this show, which is, of course, another show somewhere else. And with the mood and music and stuff. You know, anyway, the point is, I don't want to get on the mic. I don't want to do it. And, I don't think I ever wanted to do it. But then I start doing it and I want to do it. So it says a lot about now, living now, knowing now, and not letting the past or the future. Oh, or your coffee. Oh yeah. Bother you. Dr. David Rice, who has not been with us for a while, who I met through Mr. Dusty Nathan, who has not been here for a while. Dusty goes off and on the grid, as the saying goes these days, right? He goes off and on the grid, and we found him. He came back, and I said, let's have the three of us talk again, We're going to talk again, the three of us, because we're good talkers, and we got a lot to say. We're going to roll with the punches and punch the rolls at the same time. In the meantime, this difficult historian, were you here last week? Did you hear that talk? I want to tell you this though. I did mention that Stacey Lane Wilson. I mentioned this last week. Was written a book called So L.A. And has, not to have a lot in common with me, may have more in common with Dusty Nathan, who grew up in L.A. Back in those days, because Dusty, although he grew up in L.A., is my generation. Stacey Lane Wilson will be on this show next week talking about her book, and her book talk is written about her life growing up on the rocky road of being two celebrities, the one being Don Wilson. No, not the guy who worked with Jack Benny, like any of you young people even know who I'm talking about. But Don Wilson, the man who wrote, he was with The Ventures, like a lot of you people know who that might be if you're too young. The Ventures, an instrumental group very popular in the early 60s, and of course had great hits like Walk, Don't Run, and the theme to Hawaii Five-O. Which you might know because they rebooted that with other people. I don't even know if they used the same music, his theme. But anyway, Don Wilson was her father, and I forgot her mother's name. Because I don't know why, but she was a model. And anyway, Stacey, I got in touch with me months ago because I knew somebody she wanted me to talk about in her book, and I did. But it didn't make the book the part I participated in that book. But you know what? That doesn't matter because Stacey is colorful. She's gorgeous and she's seasoned and she is looking back on a history of her life as a, in that whole celebrity world. And she's still very active in many ways. She will be here and we'll be talking about her book and we will be trying to sell the book and we will be talking to her because she's great. And so I never miss an opportunity when I find somebody who I know is going to be good, as is. Now, Dusty Nathan, I knew a long time. So and I was on his show when he did his show at some Philadelphia radio station. And I decided to take part of my Saturday. That was before this started, before this whole, because that was actual brick and mortar radio. That was, jing goes over. Jing, like that means something. Jing. What does that mean? Antennas and broadcasting and all that stuff. So I know him from that. Dr. Reese, I know Rice. There I go again, because I think I did this. Last time I wanted to call him Reese, he was Rice, or Rice, he was Reese. It's like having tinnitus. Go to the doctor, I tell the doctor, I got tinnitus. And he goes, you mean tetanus? And I went, yeah, okay, I said it wrong. I said tetanus. And then I go to another doctor, and I say, yeah, I got tetanus. He goes, you mean tinnitus? In any event, in all event, certainly in this event, that's what's happening. So I'm warning you, don't miss next week. Of course, anything you miss, if you happen to miss it, the live broadcast, you can hear it. If you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, you can get the archived shows. And you can listen to various parts of them, 10 at a time, 9 at a time. You can binge on them. I don't care. You could download them. I don't care. They're all there. JuicedTalk.com. And well, you know what else? Since you're selling books, of course, you know about my books. Go to Amazon. Get the books at Amazon.com. Put in my name. Books. Not my name. I put in Frank Cotolo. Get the books. And then, who else? Oh, all the stuff that I was going to talk about. I want to mention this before I go get Dr. Reese Rice. I'm sorry. Already I'm apologizing. I'll call him. What did I originally call him? Dr. Rice. That's what I call him, Dr. Rice. Something originally made me want to say, Reese, I think it is Rice. Or maybe it's both. Or maybe either is acceptable. I heard something on news tonight. I want to tell you all because I've been talking about scams for years, ever since this started. I've been talking about scams, email scams, internet scams of various types and phone scams, because people do this on the phone, and phones are internet now, right? Because you have a smartphone. And I don't expect, and I get a little weird about this because I know that I have a very bright audience. I don't expect my audience to be duped by any scams. I think they're smart. I think they're bright. I think they're savvy, right? Because you're internet savvy, okay? But maybe you tell your mothers or your fathers and your sisters and your brothers or anybody who's older who doesn't, who isn't as savvy digitally as you. But I heard this tonight that there's a police scam, there's a phone scam going on, right? You get a phone call from somebody who says he's a sergeant or a captain of the police. And now remember the thing that makes a scam really good, and as I told you before, I know all the scams because I knew scammers and I knew thieves and gypsies, gypsies, tramps and thieves. And I know, you know, the best way to fool a scammer is to be a scammer. And to know a scammer, I mean to be a scammer. But anyway, you know it. These people, and usually it's a guy who's going to call, they're filled with information, and they're great actors. They know exactly what to say and how to say it to make the person believe. That's a con man, because con is short for confidence and what have you. What they'll do is they'll call you, and they'll tell you that they're, you know, some sergeant, whatchamacallit, from the police department. He'll give you the local police department. He'll say, from the Danforth, up here in Danforth, of course, Danforth Police Department. I'm Dr. Now I'm saying doctor because I'm not scamming right now. I'm just telling you. And I'm Sergeant What You For, and I'd just like you to know that you've failed to appear for jury duty twice. And and they tell you that. And, of course, you need to pay the fine for that, and if you don't, then within a certain amount of time, especially even now, if we could settle it, there will be a warrant out for your arrest. Now, people get scared when they hear that stuff. You know, the words are the key words. You know, arrest, fine, you know, jury duty, of course. And then, of course, they'll hit people who have already gone. You know, geez, I just went to jury duty. What are you talking about? And then what they'll do is they'll go, yes, but you were also called for, and they'll give you certain dates. Trial of Whitlin and Watlin versus Ding Dong and, you know, Pecorini versus Lockaduty. And they'll tell you this stuff. The scammers are knowledgeable. They have details. And they sound so real. And this is how they fool people into thinking that they have this fine. Now, here's where you really catch them. They're going to ask for money and want to get it right away. They can give you a post office box, but you already know. You're, hey, wait a second. A place as a post office box? They'd even have an answer for that. You know, they would say, well, yeah, because that's where we take the fines for the, you know, anyway. But of course, it could be a weird address because they don't have a post office box in your area and they're just calling from anywhere trying to get your area. Okay. So, what they'll do, and this is the giveaway, okay? They'll ask you, they'll tell you this. They'll say, you know, you can settle this right now. If you get a prepaid card, ding, 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 whatever, you know, they tell you. You know those prepaid cards, green cards, and the various things they sell? You can get one of those, and then give us the number. And you know what? I don't even know how they go through with getting the number or what have you, or if they make you go to a site or something, or give you an email, or tell you to send the number there, and then, of course, they have the money. So they say, we'll give you till tomorrow to get a, you know, $100, whatever the fine might be. They're going to make it up. Obviously, it's not a fine. But here's the best thing you could do. And I'll tell you why. You don't even have to get that far or tell your mothers or your fathers or your aunts, your grandfathers or your family members or people on your block who happen to be old and who might be fooled. Okay. Anybody you think, anybody, any age, any sex you think might be fooled, tell them this. Okay. Police department and other people in the judicial and legislative, that's not legislative, Frank, that's the enforcement industry. Is it an industry? I don't know. Well, anyway, nobody does this over the phone. You get letters from the government, you get letters from the city. If you did owe something or you were delinquent on being somewhere, you would get something in the mail and significant amount of time, and they would never ask you for one of those prepaid green cards. Right? So, if someone calls up, anyone calls up, tell these people, and says, I'm a sergeant, I'm captain, I'm lieutenant. Who knows what name or grade of officer they will use from the Danforth Police Department or the Plattsburgh Police Department, Ontario Police Department, or the Greensburg Police, whatever. You know, now I tell you what I would do, because you know the things that I do with scammers, but you don't expect these other people to do it, or you, you know, you could do it if you want to. If you're a smart aleck and you know it's one of them, but wait, first the other people, the people who might have been fooled, just tell them to hang up. Hang up. Boop. Who else gets on and broadcasts and gives you a dial tone out of his or her mouth? Actually, you know, I don't even know the tone of a dial tone. Anyway, tell them just to hang up. Now you could have some fun. I have fun with all telemarketers, especially fake or phony ones. And you know, why this came to my attention was because last week I got another one of those calls from Microsoft. Now Microsoft doesn't call you up and tell you that your computer is acting weird, right? The CIA doesn't, even if they're in your computer, they're not going to call you and go, hey, listen, could you make that louder? I can't hear it. Or can you clear that screen up? I can't see it well, right? No, they don't do that. So I can't believe I got a robo, voice. You know what I hate too? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I get a robo voice saying, oh, this is Microsoft. Your computer is acting very strangely and sending out weird messages. It was worded better than that. And so please, leave your number, press one if you'd like help. Now I think what happens when you press one or two, whatever they tell you to press, is I think they get your number. Once they have your number, they could do some detective work, find out your name, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, they're in your smartphone or they're in your house and you don't know it. And they're looking through your socks and going, these would fit. Anything can happen. Because they're just looking for information to steal your identity, your money, your money's identity, your anything you have, your website, your passwords, your pass sites, and your web words, whatever. That's what they want. And so you've got to be smarter than them. And I know you are, you guys, and you people, but you know that you got to tell people. But what I would do, and I was going to tell you about the robocalls. Now you get robocalls and they imitate they don't tell you they're robocalls. Hi, is this Frank Catolo? This person, you know, oh, Frank, you know, why your heart, literally, someone called me today and said, you're harder to find than my nipple. Really? They said that my nipple, it's a woman's voice. You're harder to find than my nipple with the armors on or something. She said something really ridiculous. And I knew him. I said, so can we talk? And then I started to talk because I said, wait a second. It's not real. I just heard it in my voice. Even though it sounds real, it doesn't even sound like it's a recording or anything. Because, you know, you could do a digital sound, make it sound exactly like it's right there. Or on the phone, at least. And so, the voice comes out. And if you start talking, go, yeah, you're a robo, aren't you? You're a robo. Now, if it's not a robo and you've made the mistake and have been duped by that, they'll say, no, not. But wait a second. Sometimes they're keyed. It's keyed when you say something, you're the real person, you say something, even if it's a robocall, and it stops, and it goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, what did you say? And then you go, oh, it is real, you know, but it's not, you know it's not. So say something absolutely absurd, because even if it is real, they'll stop and go, what? Okay? And you'll know you're having a regular conversation with a human voice that is real time. If not, then, you know, it'll get weird. So say something absolutely ridiculous, you know, like go like, bubbles are in my skin. And, if they keep talking, you know, obviously and if it stops and they say things like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Then go, bubbles are in my skin. Yell out, yell. This is a good one too. Yell as opposed to hanging up. I think that the more trouble you give these people, and I've told you this from the beginning, even with the emails, when you send back, when you answer them, as opposed to not answering them, if you want to have some fun. And also, it works to eventually get you off of their list. Because they know, like, that's a wacko. And I don't want to deal with a wacko. I want to deal with a regular person. You're a con man. You want to deal with a regular person who you can con. You can get their confidence. Then you can get their ID. You can get their web passwords, their phone numbers, their bank accounts, and everything else. So tell the scammer, tell the people around you that this new scam is coming. 400,000 people in 2016 reported being scammed on the phone or somehow with, that's just phone scams. Okay. So, and then I guarantee you, I don't guarantee you anything. I don't know. I don't have the information, but I'll bet you they're older people. Because that's what they're looking to find. Oh, what's a green pay card? Then they need to know everything about the green pay card. Well, here's where you can get one. Now, the scammers are real voices. They're not robos, okay? The scammers are real voices, real-time voices. These are scam. I'm just telling you, there's also these robo calls. And the people who are calling you at Microsoft, look, Microsoft doesn't get on the phone. It's ridiculous. I mean, think about this. Oh, Microsoft got on the phone because I have Microsoft OS. They called me because they were, how did they know? What did they know? Mine is going through an ISO, an ISP. It's three letters it's going through. It has a service provider. It's going through a cable com. Everything is going. They know. How do they know? How did they get in to call me? Your computer is acting strangely and sending weirdness. Would you like us to fix it for you? If so, press 1. The problem is, don't press anything, because then that, like I said, and if it's not real, you can't scream. It's a robo, you could scream, you could say something, and now if it's real voice, like the sergeant police station or something, believe me, it's never gonna be the sergeant or captain or lieutenant or anybody at the police station, at the court. You know, this is the court in Danforth, and I'm the court, whatever, I'm the court operator. It's not gonna happen. Even if it's a real voice. So if the court operator goes, I'm the court operator of Remington County, and I'd like to tell you that you are delinquent, Mr. And they'll have your name, too. They'll have your name, maybe. Maybe they have your name. I don't know. We'd like to tell you that you are delinquent. In your jury duty appearance, you did not show up for that. Well, you could say things like, yeah, well, why don't you just put your hands inside my pants and squeeze my buns? You could say that. Because it's never, ever going to be an actual officer. They don't call you. So get that through to people, and those people will be happy for it. We can ruin the scammers. You know why? We can ruin the scammers because we know how they scam. Does the same thing as I've been telling you since the day that I, Frank Cotolo, me on Cotolo Chronicles, when we were on Amcast.com. Stop hitting yourself, Frank. We exposed the Nigerian email scandal. That was us. And then they took it, and next thing you know, it was on Dateline or whatever, and it was all over the place. So there's 3 sounds for you. So it is that. Now, last week I told you I was going to start a subreddit, and I didn't do it because I haven't figured out how to do it because I had other things to do. But we're going to start a subreddit. In the meantime, you know where to get me if you need me. I'm also at, I'm going to keep my Gmail to itself, fcatolo@yahoo.com, where you can get me there. I'm going to start this Reddit, and I'm going to start a subreddit of Cotolo Chronicles on the American Social News Aggregation web content rating and discussion website called Reddit. Reddit. You know, they did that with this whole technology in this whole world of cyber world. And apps and programs, they change things so that they sound like real. Reddit is not R-E-A-D, 2 words. Reddit, YouTube, iPhone, they use one I, and they Reddit, Facebook, it's not a book, and there are faces. Okay, that's what they do. So anyway, they did that with Reddit, and I'm really late to Reddit. And as you know, I've told you through the years, here and there, I've told you about being early on Facebook, one of the first double-digit thousands, and of course the Yahoo and the clubs and everything that happened well before there was even, there was an IM. And when there was just, so I, but I was late to Reddit. This is really late to Reddit. I just had no reason to go there. And the other thing about Reddit, when I did go there and then left it and didn't decide to go back, is because it's a very busy site. And although I like busy newspapers, which really don't exist anymore. And a busy newspaper is a newspaper with lots of columns and things. And one page doesn't just have type and ads and other stories and insets and sidebars and things like that. So I didn't like Reddit because it was like, whoa, what is this? You know, oh man, all over the place. But a lot of people, especially younger people, and you people know who you are because you know your age and you're younger, you know that there is very, you seem to just catch on to these things and know them immediately. So you knew Reddit, and if you knew Reddit like I knew Reddit. Anyway, we're going to try to do that and get that done. Also on the show, I told you, Stacey Elaine Wilson, that's, the book is So LA. If you want to go ahead and buy it already, you can. And you go to Stacey, look, you Google her and see her website. She's got a great website, and she has what's called a reel, which has, it's a video of things she's done and little clips from things she's directed and written and when she was on television doing interviews and what have you. And what else? Well, Dr. Andrew Waldaw is going to be back. Charles Dennis is going to be back. Heather Drain's going to be back. And Michael Laskin and I are going to do more acting. And I'm going to do acting stuff as a follow-up to the last time I was there. That's right. This is fake entertainment with Dead Air. Dead Air. I said Dead Air. Wow. You can get Dead Air also, the Tom Savino, Frank Cotolo from the 70s show. Remember what I said last week when you just make plural? Say the S afterwards. Those shows are on, also on juicetalk.com. And if you're listening up live, not on a, rebroadcast, then you can hear Tom Savino's Savino Veritas. The same guy who was on those shows with me, my former partner. We got him back. I got him back. And he's just been on a terrific roll. Savino Veritas. On stations that run Savino Veritas after me or on somewhere on their menu. And you all can do it. All you stations can do it by just going to Juice Talk and getting those Savino Veritas shows. And very timely, very good, very sharp, very funny, very talented guy. And then so you can get those on, and he'll be following us on this evening here as we record this. And do it live. Now, Dusty Nathan is going to be with us, but I'm going to call Dr. Reese Rice. Oh my God, I'm already apologizing because I'm an idiot. Dr. Reese Rice. Dr. Rice. I think it's Rice. And last time I thought it was Reese. But I'm going to get him and then we're going to try to get Dusty. So how do I do that? I do that by calling him because it's about time. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. There's plenty to talk about, and that's what we're going to do. So wake up. It's night. Time's passing. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. I love this song because it's easy to remember the words. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Call Skype. Call Skype. Wow, that's loud, huh? Let's get Doctor.
Hello.
Hello, Doctor.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How come you're, wow, I got a weird color going on. Your eyes are purple and part of your Van Dyke. When was the last time anybody called it a Van Dyke?
That's been a while.
Yeah.
Also, I am the flying purple people eater.
and once again, I've been an idiot, which is a pretty commonplace for me. Because last time I think I mistakenly called you, Reese, but it's Rice.
No, it is Reese.
Oh my God! You see what?
A couple generations ago, it was Rice, but it's Reese now.
it was. Oh no, it didn't change, did it? No.
No. Back, some of the old family members used to call it Rice, but my generation's always been Reese.
What is that when it goes back to all the generations? Is it seriously Reese? It's Reese.
It's Reese.
It's always Reese. Why is it spelled like that? Why is it not spelled like Reese? Why?
You know, we used to think it was more Austrian, but we now believe it's actually probably Portuguese. I didn't know it till I worked in New Bedford, Massachusetts, that Reese is actually a pretty common Portuguese name.
That is correct. That of a little bit I know about Portugal, and there, you're right, yes. But I did not think of that. And now that I look at you, because I happen to be seeing you, did I call you on, can you see me? No, or not? Oh, no, you can't. You can't. There's no way you can see me. Because my camera's not here. But anyway, you do have a Portuguese look to you.
Yeah, actually, my father was even more so. I mean, my father was even more, you know, dark complexion. And, you know, family probably went from Portugal to Europe sometime in the mid 1800s or late 1700s or, you know, when I was just a kid.
But you're all here though. You're all here. He's all there.
No, I'm third generation.
You don't get to be a doctor if you're all here. You know what else you look like tonight? You look a little bit like Larry David tonight. Does anyone ever say to you?
Now and then, if the shadows strike me right, there's a little bit.
Tired of hearing that?
No. I just wish I could get access to his bank account with it.
You know, I used to hate when you first meet a person.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, you look just like someone I know. You look like my brother's David's friend. I mean, people would say, what a way to just introduce yourself to somebody completely unique, right, to you. And you go, I never liked that. I never did it to anybody, like, right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, the best thing is, you know, in California here, we only need to renew our driver's license photos like every 20 years or so if you haven't had problems. So my photo's like 30 years old, and it was, you know what great photography they use?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I had a full beard back then, and I go through TSA, and they look at this white-haired old geezer, and on the driver's license is Saddam Hussein's younger brother.
Saddam Hussein, boy, it's a name you don't hear very often anymore. Saddam Hussein's younger brother was who?
I don't know.
Amy. Amy Hussein.
Right.
You know, you're a doctor. Last week I was talking, by the way, I'm going to try to get Dusty. Let me tell everybody and the doc what happened. Dusty had some Skype problems, he told me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to get him. He didn't tell me, he said he was going to fix them this morning. So I'm sure, but like I said to you, whether he's here or not, we'll go on with this because who needs them? No, I'm joking. Right. But what I was going to ask you is last week I was telling everybody about a doctor who I didn't mention his name because I respect all doctors. Even when I don't like them, I'm not going to tell their names. But, a doctor, and who handles gout?
Podiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I was this morning.
I don't know if he was a podiatrist. Maybe he was a podiatrist. But anyway, you can get gout anywhere, can't you?
But it basically affects the feet, yeah.
Anyway, he sent a report to my family doctor.
Yeah.
And he said to my family doctor was reading me the report when I went there. And my family doctor said, well, I called him Dr. Futtenstein because I really did not care for him too much and he didn't answer my questions or pay attention to me. But he said, but my family doctor said to me that Dr. Futtenstein said I was a difficult historian.
Oh, really?
You've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because you're a doctor. Now, in all my life and all the doctors I've ever been to or whatever, no one has ever told me that phrase. And I stopped and I said, what are you talking about? I said to my doctor. Now, we're in medical school, and I told everybody what it means. And, you know, I understood what he meant because this is the way I talk. And he probably, you know, he didn't expect any great detail, no less entertainment. Even though it's fake entertainment, I may add. When do you learn that? In what part of being a doctor do you learn that? And where did that phrase originate? Do you know?
You know, I don't know, because that goes back. I mean, I use it at times, and that goes back to when I was in med school. You know, I think it's more something you pick up, you know, during like your residency, you know, where you pick up all the weird terms that aren't in the books.
Why would it be put like that? That's kind of like snobby in a way. Is like, well, you know, isn't there a better way of saying that?
Yeah, just shorthand, because you're taking a history, and rather than saying it's difficult obtaining a clear history, you just, you know, shorten it to difficult historian, which if you take it literally sounds pretty weird, but we sort of know what it means.
Yeah, I liked the term. Don't get me wrong. I said, wow, what a great name for a book, you know, the difficult historian. And at first I thought maybe it came from a book. Some doctor wrote a book, The Difficult Historian.
You know, you're giving me a great idea.
That is a great idea. People, and it would be, I thought of it in a comedic way because I went, wow, you could put together a whole bunch of, monologues by people.
Oh, I can tell you stories.
Right?
But, I'm trying to find out what's going on, and I get everything but, and, you know, interesting stories, but it has nothing to do with what the person's there for. And, you know, that's when you put down the difficultest story.
And here's the funny thing. Another funny thing about it, though, I swear to you, I told him everything he needed to know.
Right.
Here's when it happened. This is what, when I thought I was a very clear and, you know, historian. And I would never use the word historian for a person talking about their past, would you?
Well, you know, some people some docs take offense if someone, you know, gives them too much information. Like, leave it to me to do that. You know? I mean, I that doesn't bother me. But some people will take offense if someone comes in and has everything wrapped up too neatly. Like, no, I'm supposed to guide you. I mean, you know, I don't want you just putting it out there, but, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah. The only time I was ever called the difficult historian. And the funny thing is I told my family doctor, I said, what was really weird was that the guy, you know, he couldn't look me in the eye. Literally couldn't, because his eyes went two ways, right? You know?
And, this wasn't Trump's doctor.
No. And my family doctor said, don't you hate when that happens? You know? So, yes. We've got Dr. Rice.
Reese. And it's Thursday, so it's Reese.
Today's Reese, if it's Thursday, it must be Reese. And he's gonna, tell us about some of the Portugal music that he heard while he was growing up and, talk to us about Portugal, you know, it's such a, one of my books, takes place partially in Portugal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And, the thing about Portugal is that for some reason or another, right, South America, Brazil, became Portuguese, and everyone else is like Spanish, right?
Right, right, right.
They didn't get around much, Portugal. They couldn't take over Spain. Did they ever go to war with Spain?
You know, I have to admit I'm a poor historian.
You're a difficult, poor historian. Hey, Dusty Nathan's online. Let's see. Yeah. I'm going to add him here. Hold on. Let's see. Let's add, where is he? Show dial pad. How do we do this? I don't want to take a picture. What is this? It says add people to this call. Let's get Mr. Dusty Nathan. He's online on Skype, and she should be able to just answer this.
I saw it pop up that he was online, but then it disappeared.
Let's get him. Oh, it did? Well, let's get him here. I'm going to click that. Now click Dusty Nathan. That's probably his email. Wait, add to call. Okay.
There we go.
Do we have him?
Dusty?
No. User not online. How do you like that one? Let me see what it says.
He was online for a minute and then it popped off.
Let me see what it says. Did he write? No, he didn't write to me, so he's not there. But maybe he's having trouble with his Skype. You know as well as I do, because you didn't you at one point, didn't you ask me on Facebook, where's Dusty a while ago?
Oh, yeah.
He goes on these hiatus, these spells. And then he comes back. Now it also says that I'm connected to him and I'm not recent. Wait a second. I got a message here. I'm here, Frank, it says. Okay. You're here. Then why doesn't he answer? Where is he? Add people.
Yeah, it says that he's on.
Yeah, Dusty? Dusty? Oh, what was that now? Oh, here's another one. Here's another message from Dusty. It says, Dusty, over there. Dusty, I'm here.
I'm online.
Yeah, you're online, but why aren't you on, Dusty, why aren't you on here? This particular show that we have here with Dr. Reese.
Reese.
I would know you don't. If it wasn't for him, because I don't watch football anymore.
Oh, wait, let's see if I could add him here.
I don't know, since I called you.
Dusty, are you on? His picture popped up.
Really?
But not.
Let me try him again from here. Adam. Here's Dusty, here's Dr. Ree. It says here, show group conversation. Okay, you're here now. What? And now, where? Where are you? In regular brick and mortar radio, this stuff doesn't happen.
Right.
But we're still special, and because of Skype, actually, there's not a Skype problem. He's calling. How do I do that? Answering this call will put your active call on hold. Okay, hold on. Okay, Doc.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, Dusty.
I'm on.
Okay.
I'm here.
Well, how come it said you were here and I'm on with Dr. Reese? And let me add Dr. Reese now. This is because add people to this call. But I just had Dr. Reese on.
I'm actually here.
Yeah, I know. You're looking good, too. I don't have a camera tonight. So, uh-oh, you're gone. There goes Dusty. Call ended on Dusty. Now nobody's here except me. I'm Frank Catolo. David Rice? We're going to get Reese. I'm a difficult moderator. I said, let's call the Reese. Where? Okay, where? David Reese, where's your call? Show group conversation, okay? Here. This is Skype, my friends. We don't have the phone. Dusty? Resume call. Here. Call on hold. I want to resume call. This is also... There's Dr. Reese. Are you back? Dr. Reese. Paging Dr. Reese. Add people to this call. Where? Add Dusty Nathan? Dusty. Add the call. Do I got to call everybody again? What is going on here? My name is Frank Catolo. Man's name is doing the title show. I got two guests and a terrific show. All. Not on this call is Dusty Nathan. Well, where's Dr. Reese? What do I have to do? I'll stop everything right now and start over again. Dr. Reese, let's call you. Doop, 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 doop. Call Dr. Reese. Okay, it's Dr. Reese again.
Okay, now I got
you.
I
do?
Got you back, Frank, yeah. Now, do I still have Dusty?
I have you. Yeah, I don't know because I had him and then I lost you. And
right.
Then. Now, I have a group call here, but I don't... Do you... Where's Dusty? I saw him for a second.
Yeah, he was there for... And I was able to see him and hear him.
Dusty. It says add... And it says that we're all here. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, that's...
That's what bothers me. Dusty, can you hear me? Speak louder, Dusty. Dusty, paging Dusty Nathan. Now, if I go to over here, a call ended... from his regular call, and yet he's not, Well, let's see if he pops on. In the meantime, let's keep the audience happy.
Sure.
With something other than, where's Dusty? How to find Dusty? Dusty! Now, if he calls in, see, I add to group call, Dusty Nathan. Hold on, mate. I think I just did it. Dusty? Do you see his picture there?
I have his avatar.
Some people need to come online or update Skype before they can join this call. It says that's, that's the problem.
Yeah, I had to update mine before.
User not online. These things change so quickly.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Well, if you're listening, Dusty, do your updates. That's what you should have done this morning. He was looking healthy, though, for the moment I saw him. He's looking okay.
Yeah.
He's looking fine. So, want to stay away from politics, which is good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just like everywhere you turn now.
Right.
You hear this.
It's 24/7.
It's unbelievable, and it's invaded every genre. Of course, the comedy genre is having a ball.
Right.
I was talking last night to somebody. I was at the racetrack, and I was talking to somebody heard me telling jokes, and somebody I didn't know walked over and said, "Hey, you know, I heard that's pretty funny." Yeah. Oh, wait a second, And here's Dusty now. Yo, I'm online. He says, yeah, I know, but you can't. I know you're online. Let me write to him while I'm talking. And the guy said, you got me. Okay, now he's calling. But if I do this.
Yeah, see if he can. I'm still here.
Yeah, okay, I know that, but I don't want to lose you. Okay, now it's ringing. See, but I can't. I add you. Okay, answering his call, we'll put the other credit on. Now, let me add him again. Let me try to add him again from you.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Like, that's going to work. I've already lost. See. Now I've got his picture.
Let me see if I can add him.
Yeah, why don't you try it? Let's see if we can.
Okay, now I added him, and I have his.
Do you see him? Do you hear him?
I have R up, but not live. And now it says he's offline again.
Oh, this is the fabulous Skype. I don't know. This has got to be him. I've done this recently. This must be what they said about the. Except, why would they tell us that he's on? That's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
So he said to me, he said, "You got any Trump jokes?" And I said, "Oh man," I said, "Look, I decided to go the other way. I mean, everywhere you go, this is all you hear."
Right.
Either yo, I'm okay, yo, I'm and then he went, "Oh, that's pretty good that you just." I said, "Yeah, everybody's going that way."
Yeah.
And it's like, you just hear it. Oh, we're being inundated. And
yeah.
Are you fine now in terms of what you do for a living?
Yeah.
I heard today, and maybe you heard this or have already heard from clients or people. I heard that of all the times, there have been controversies, or as they say in England, controversies.
Yeah.
that this particular, time is literally causing stress, that there's stress related. Can you fill us in on any of that? Do you know what's going on?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of it. You know, and some of it has to do with exactly what's going on. And I don't want to get into the specific politics of it, but also the fact that it's just so 24/7 and people, and even myself, you know, I become addicted to Twitter, and it's like, you know, you wake up in the morning and you don't have to wait to get your newspaper or go down and turn on the TV even, you know, you just pick up your phone and suddenly everything from all over the world is hitting you in the face. And we're just in a whole new world of communication that's instantaneous from all over. And when it's useful, it's great, but it can also be very invasive and very stressful. You know, I know a lot of people come and say, you know, I'm just not sleeping well. I go to bed thinking of it. It's the first thing I do in the morning. Which wasn't possible, let's say, even 10 years ago. You'd have to go get your newspaper or go put on the radio or TV. Now, you know, your phone's right there. And, you know, I think most of the millennials have it basically implanted in their hands.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it really is invasive. And I am seeing a lot of people complaining of not sleeping, not, you know, just feeling here.
I think I got
you
both. Do I got you both now? I got you both now.
Okay.
Dusty?
I'm here.
Good evening. Finally got it there. Dr. Reese is with us. He's telling us. Talking about how.
I'm here.
He's here. Dave. Are we all going to call you Dave? Is that it?
Dave, yeah.
I always feel like doctors and, you know, people who have earned titles should be called by those titles. That's
hey, why. Are you paying me?
No, but that's why.
That I'm off duty and it's.
But listen to what a hypocrite I am. Because I told you I call them doctor and then call them Futtenstein, you know, instead of his real name. So that's Dusty. Dusty, how the heck are you? Long time no see. You look well.
I'm great, except there's three sets of Skype going on here simultaneously.
Really? Well. Don't have the show on because, you know, there's a delay.
Three sets.
Why do you have three sets of, why?
No, I have, my screen is filled up also with all the, like, three sets.
Well, I just have you guys and it's good to see you both. I don't have my camera, so I just did it with, hi, how are you? I see you waving. I see Dr.
It's, I'm Reese. Waving. I'm
Dusty also, Dr. David, I'm gonna have to get into the stream of
Reese, like Reese's peanut butter cup.
Reese, do you know that's what you know that guy? Who's the?
Oh, okay.
What? Oh, okay. What?
Turn the show off. Okay.
Yeah, I turn the show off. So
that was a delay. Okay.
Yeah, that was a delay. You know, I could never think of, you know, the guy who was the head of the Republican Party, then became the, Rice. What's his name? Rice? Reese? What's his? I call him Reese's Pieces.
Reince Priebus.
Oh, right.
What is that? What kind of a name is that? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure about any of those guys up there anymore.
I call him Reese's Pieces. That would, cause that way I'd remember. But David, I'm going to call you David. David was, yeah. I was asking David if he had heard from a lot of people, the clients or anyone or in his business, about how the stress, I don't want to talk politics, but the stress of what's going on, people are actually becoming stressful on this particular time. From everything they're hearing and stuff and talking, you know, but it's not just the gadgets, Doc. It's also the, people, you talk to people and they'll just bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also the content of what's going on.
Yeah. The content and people are bringing that up. Hey, Doc.
Well, you hold on a minute.
Okay.
Even the 20 guys or whatever that ran against Trump were dissed by him constantly and we're against him. I mean, little,
yeah, I know. We were all there.
Little, no, hold on a minute. Lion Ted, Lion little Ted. Marco.
Yeah.
Excuse me a minute. These people are disingenuous by going now and cuddling up because they've won the Senate, meaning they control all three parts of the government. They wouldn't have had any, most of these people didn't even vote for him. Yeah. I'm talking about the Bushes.
See, we didn't want to get.
I'm talking about Romney.
I didn't want to get.
Vote for him.
I didn't want to get David upset because he said you. So don't get too heavy with this stuff.
Okay. Don't get. I'll go wherever you want to go.
Oh, I have a question though.
Go ahead, Ryan.
The AMA. Let's talk. We don't have to talk about parties as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
The AMA is against the newest House version of affordable care, whatever it's Romney, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees on one thing. The system is not working anymore.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. But as a medical doctor who does billing through the systems, I want to ask you what you think of the current legislation going through. In other words, what are your opinions of what the Republicans are doing with the changes? Do you like them? Do you dislike them?
That's a good question because he is a doc. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I mean, of course, I'm looking at it mostly from the mental health point of view, but it's a disaster. You know, I mean, there were plenty of problems with Obamacare, ACA. You know, there were parts of it I didn't like at all. And without getting into the politics, I'm talking about purely clinically. Right. But this is just going to devastate. If it goes through what's up in Congress right now, you know, they're cutting mental health benefits. People won't have detox benefits. It's going to be a disaster. And it's already a problem because, and I won't go real long on this, but even hospitals that I've worked at over the last year have basically been preparing for a worst case scenario. So they've been cutting their budgets over at least the last 6 months. So it's self-perpetuating in that we're already working at bottom line budgets and it may go even lower. So, I mean, level of care is just not good. And if this goes through, it will be worse. I don't think there's any question about that unless you can pay out of pocket.
Yeah. You know, I think it's morally wrong too. In other words, we can't just say, you know, 20 million people were added. Okay. Yeah. Now let's say even if 5% of them were bums. I was looking for a better word than bums, but 5% were cheating the system. They could actually be working, but you know, they're not. Okay. That would make 19 million that were put on the rolls.
Yeah.
My point is this, why are we the only industrialized country with all the trillions of dollars, trillions that we have in our budget every year? Why can't we afford to take care of everybody at least to be able to see a doctor, to be able to get some medicine, if not the cutting edge $1,000 a pill stuff. Why can't we cover everybody?
Well, it's all short term greed when you really look at it. I mean, it doesn't even make sense financially in the long term because the people who aren't covered are going to end up in an emergency room who are going to require emergency care that someone's going to pay for, whether the hospital eats it or, you know, puts those costs somewhere else. and they're going to get more money spent in emergency care than would have been spent in preventive care, just taking care of the problems along the way.
You know?
So it's very short-sighted.
Let me ask you this, doctor.
Yeah.
Why, and this is a psychological question, I think, I don't know, yeah. But why would people, all the people who didn't want Obamacare, who apparently really went for all the stuff that Trump, the candidate, was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Why would they were against the fact that the government was doing that? But why would people who need it,
yeah,
want to vote against it?
Well, a lot of people really didn't understand it. First of all, it wasn't controlling medicine; it was just controlling how certain things were paid for.
Right.
Some people actually thought that ACA and Obamacare were two separate things. A lot of what was in the media wasn't true. And yes, there were problems, but it was just way overblown. And like a lot of people did lose insurance, but basically the insurance policies that went down were really crappy policies that were okay if you caught the flu, but if you had something serious, you were out in the cold. So now, yeah, it could have been done smoother. There were a lot of things that could have been done better, and a lot of parts of it I disagree with. But basically, you know, it made no sense for people to be voting against it, and now they're realizing they're going to be with even less.
Oh, where were they? Well, I mean, what went through their heads?
I could just interject one thought. If they do repeal without replacing something, we could have, seriously, a civil war in this country.
We're going to have hospitals closing. We're going to have ERs overloaded.
Well, even if they pass it, that's possible. That there's going to be chaos, right? Even if they pass a new one, what is this new one, as far as I know so far, is not exactly going to be kind.
They say it's not going to pass, but you know, you can't trust any of these politicians to come on TV and tell the truth. So who knows, you know, they could just be saying this as they're putting it through, because it moved right through two committees today in the House, which means it's open to go to the House anytime that Ryan puts it there.
Yeah.
In fact, they'll probably do it on a Friday night at 1 a.m. when all the media is gone for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. And there are all sorts of, just like there were quirks in Obamacare, there are even more quirks in this that take out stuff that people don't even realize, you know, and where the language, what it says on the surface isn't what's really happening.
First of all, the pre-existing condition is a must.
Yeah.
Why should these companies worth hundreds of billions of dollars decide, well, this guy's got diabetes, sooner or later he's going to lose a toe, and that's going to cost us money?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it undoes the whole idea of insurance, which is you pay when you don't need it, so you're in a pool, so that then when you need it, it's there. And like even, and again, without getting into Republican and Democrat, what Ryan said yesterday is, well, it's not fair for the healthy to support the sick. That's what effort insurance is for.
Hey, hold on a minute. It's mandated you carry auto insurance at $1,200 a year.
Right. Now, not because you know you're going to have an accident, but in case you...
And if you're a safe driver that hasn't had a wreck in 30 years, you're supporting the guy out there who's had 20 wrecks.
Doctor,
It is insurance. No, go ahead, Frank. I'm
Doctor,
sorry.
Are there other diseases named after Greek gods? Because, I'm talking about the god of sweets, diabetes. Of course, the disease named
okay,
diabetes. Are there other diseases named after Greek gods? You're listening to me. What? Another one?
I struggle with any language beyond Bronx. So.
I don't know. He's Portuguese. Do you know how difficult Portuguese by comparison to other? We just made Dusty run away. He just ran away from his desk. Speaking of quirks, this is Cotolo Chronicles and Dr. Reese.
Yep.
David Reese.
Yep.
And Dr. Dusty Nathan. No, I wouldn't. You can't. He's a doctor or something. He should be doctor. Professor. We'll make him a Professor Dusty. Professor Dusty Nathan is here, and he's got tons of stuff on his wall. Look at, and you know what's amazing? You're a doctor and you got a blank wall, and people can't see this, of course I'm seeing it through Skype. A blank wall behind, I mean, it's not even a painting of a carriage or an Amish man. And he's got
things on the other side.
He's got 200, the whole wall is covered with pictures. Look, there's him with Sinatra, and there's another one. And he's moving into them. Yeah. He must be around there somewhere.
Now, if I panned around, on my left, I have a signed copy of 61 because I was at the game Maris hit his 61st. On my right, I have a signed sheet music by Frankie Valli.
Well, I
of course, pictures all over the place.
Here comes. Oh, what did you do? What did you do? Run into the shower and get a towel? What? What did you do? Huh? He's got a towel. I have to tell
people.
No one can...
I don't actually have these things.
It's a real. Okay, I'm going to tell the audience right now. There is a real white hamster?
Guinea pig.
A guinea pig?
If you were this size, you wouldn't be a hamster, mister.
I don't know the difference. I know. I got gophers.
If this was your butt.
I got gophers bigger than that running around out in my backyard.
Look at this butt.
This is a...
look like a hamster?
Well, we had to tell everyone that there is this white and... he looks like a cartoon. There's a white and... beige, white, and a brown type thing.
That's a good girl.
She's, oh, of course. I
knew. I'd put her on the big screen.
Okay. Yeah. Now, are they allowed in apartments where you live?
They are not even allowed out in public. She works most of the time, you know, because they have so many breasts.
What's her name?
They're like concubines.
Not mine.
Her name's concubine.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Now that's the she's.
I used to.
She has something to say over the air. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
They're not related to swine though, right? They're rodents.
Huh?
Aren't they rodents?
Shh. We're trying to get her to say something. What? Intelligent.
His guinea pig talks. Yeah. What?
Oh yeah, I hear.
You sure that's not your arm? Moving?
No, I'm rubbing myself. Will you let me finish what I'm doing?
Go ahead. Oh, she kind of purrs. That's kind of
a... No, you know, I call it rubbing them the wrong way because if you rub them like a dog or a cat like this,
yeah,
they like purr. But if you rub them this way from the rear back towards the head like this, hear it scream?
Hey, Dr. Reese, why do people need pets? Is this what's the psychological thing behind needing a pet as opposed to just
in your company?
Company, and they don't criticize you. They don't yell back at you.
It's unconditional, right? It's an unconditional relationship.
Yeah. I used to have guinea pigs.
Why would anybody have a guinea pig?
Well, you know that expression.
They get bad press. I mean, what's
a
guinea pig?
Right? Guinea pig?
Yeah, what's a guinea pig? That's kind of bad press. I get a guinea pig. Those poor creatures. They're right. That's bad press. Guinea pigs.
Well, what they did is UCLA years ago. You know, back when what was his name? That doctor who died about 4 or 5 years ago.
Timothy Leary.
Right, Timothy Leary.
Wow, I didn't even know that's who you meant. I just said it.
Yeah, they made you into a guinea pig. You know, on that stuff from Switzerland.
Right.
LSD.
Yeah. House of Four Doors.
What can people do? What can people do in general to just calm down from being stressful about anything that's happening in the world? Because especially because they can't do anything about it, right? So what do they do? I know what to do, but I mean, tell people what they could do.
Well, it's basically anything that calms you down. First of all, shut it off. Don't put it on before you go to bed. Don't put it on first thing in the morning.
Hug a guinea pig.
Just a lot, whether it be your pet, whether it be music, whatever. Take time away because, you know, I mean, unless they're calling you for advice, you know, you're watching 24/7 ain't going to do any good.
You know what? And most people do. If they're at home and not working, they often have stimulation going on all the time in the background, either TV, radio, something.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So that's not good, huh?
It becomes overwhelming. You know, we don't know how to just be quiet anymore.
So that's a, That's a real advertisement.
It's cute to go to
dead air. Huh? That's an advertisement for meditation.
I spent
meditation,
a couple months in New York City, you know, August through September. Mm-hmm. And you could not see anyone, whether it was walking in the street, whether it's on the subway, everybody's on their phone. Everybody, and it's like, just be quiet for, just walk, just look around. Everybody, it was really unnerving.
I brought that up a couple of weeks ago on the show, and I was saying that I noticed everyone, regardless of the fact that it's against the law in some places, and I don't know if it's against the law around here, but everyone's on the phone and when they're driving.
Yeah.
I say everyone.
That disturbs me with that constant,
what do they have to say that they couldn't say before? Are they making it up, or do they have, you know, remember when the phone was because we didn't have it, it probably would have been the same thing if we had this in the 50s or 40s, right? That's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, am I right? I mean, if we had that access to all this, input and then it was the 40s, we'd be doing it then. I mean, it's just human nature.
It's become
right?
a game, because I've had a phone, believe it or not, since 1975, a car phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's in the closet, it's in storage right now here.
Your car?
No, but that phone is, and I'll tell you, it's a Motorola or a Westinghouse. It weighs about 80 pounds.
Oh, one of those, yeah.
And you'd put it in the center of your console, and you'd have to talk to the ship-to-shore operator. Cost me like $3 or $4 a minute to use it. Now that was 40 years ago. But when I moved to Philly in 85, we had car phones. Remember they put the antenna on your car?
Oh yeah, yeah. And before that, you know, I remember driving when I used to go from track to track with my CB.
They had CBs, you know.
Yeah, but you weren't, were you always on it? I mean,
that's a big 1040.
Right.
You see, a truck driver who doesn't have any contact with the human, I can understand that. They're driving 300, 400 miles and they're talking to people. That's like just listening to the radio, but they're interacting. But you guys didn't have it on all the time when you had those facilities, did you?
No, I used it more for fun. But the thing is, if there were more people on it like there are now, if you could just call a friend or whatever, we probably would have used it. I mean, when transistor radios first came out, when I was a teenager, you know, suddenly we went from nothing to carrying, and we thought then we had all the music in the world
it
with
is
us.
Much
with
cheaper.
Three stations. Yeah.
It's much cheaper now.
Yeah, if
but
God,
it's also become a way of life. I mean, people got to do that when they're driving. I don't care about talking on the phone. How about texting? You got to be looking at the screen when you're driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that, of course, that's just ridiculous.
That has led to some serious accidents.
Yeah, I mean, crossword puzzles are one thing. But when you're when you're texting while you're driving, that's... Hey, Dusty, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If God forbid, and I just use that term because that's, you know, I wouldn't
Please
want anything
don't use my name. Go ahead.
If that happened, if it happened that your whole, you suddenly were all alone now, the world was ending around you, you're like a prepper, everything was going on, and all you had to eat was that guinea pig, would you eat him?
Not at first. Not at first.
How about that, Dr. Reese? That's a good answer, isn't it?
No, for me, if that's a serious question, that'd be a hard thing to do.
Right.
Because, I couldn't get to the point where I would, you know,
Let's say your electric worked, though, and you could cook.
I wouldn't want to put it out of its misery.
You could, like, let's say your electric. Okay.
Yeah, I guess at some point.
I've had guinea pigs, and I once had a rabbit. I can't eat rabbit.
Rodent? Why would you have rodents in the house? Why would you make a rodent? I knew somebody who had who liked rats, she brought rats.
I had rats.
Yeah, right.
I had rats when I was in college.
I had
Do
rats.
You know why?
I was in college. Here's the name of Dr. Reese's new book, by the way, and we want you all to go out and get it. I had rats when I was in college by Dr.
College.
David Reese.
Wait, but they were stoned rats. Because, this is serious. I was doing legal research with marijuana, and then we saved the rats.
That's great.
These rats who had a streak of being stoned. Took them home. Yeah.
What
if you had crabs in college, Frank?
If you what?
I had crabs in college.
Dr. Reese, what if Dusty gave like 100 milligrams of Adderall to his can he would it suddenly become a rabbit and jump around or what?
Now listen, I'm gonna give you guys a piece of trivia that I swear neither one of you have ever heard. Do you know why? I want you to look at her rear end. Do you see it?
Well, we see it, but we're now looking at the rear end of a guinea pig.
No, you see that little hole there?
Audience. Yeah. What a, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna say what that is, right. But you know what it is.
Yes. And what about
it? That's her butt. Now I want to tell you something. You know the difference between a mouse and a rat and a guinea pig in regards to why dogs and cats like guinea pigs but chase cats?
I didn't know dogs don't chase guinea pigs. How do I know that?
They love them. Guinea pigs are universally loved by most. Now, you know, some rogue dogs would hurt a
doctor, doctor, help me because of the, I think the answer to this, this has something to do with it.
Well, I had a 135 pound Anatolian Shepherd when I had guinea pigs and she was fine with them.
Right. They love, the pigs, you know, huddle up with them and, the animals huddle up with the piggies. But here's my point. Do you know why they don't chase guinea pigs like they chase mice and rats?
Because guinea pigs are faster.
No, they're much, much slower.
No, you know, how am I supposed to know this? Go ahead, tell us something we don't know.
I'm going to tell you something. It's because, did you notice when I turned around, she has no tail. What they're chasing is the tail. The difference between a cat.
I saw a tail. That's not fair. I couldn't answer that. I saw a tail.
What they're, no, you didn't.
Didn't you see a tail, Doctor?
No, you saw no tail.
I thought you were holding the tail down. I don't know.
You didn't see a tail?
No, I thought you were holding it underneath.
Oh, she's holding her legs in the air now.
Okay, who'd have thunk, right?
They don't have a tail. And for that reason, they're not as preyed upon. Mm. Most of their predators are from the air, like eagles. Mm. Right, because they live on the side of the Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
So most of their prey comes down on them.
I heard the darker ones live on the adjoining mountain range, the Amoses.
The Amoses, yeah, and the Andes. That's correct. Well, anyway,
that's a terrible joke, but I never get to say it. You know? What?
They're wonderful animals. You hear?
I didn't expect to do. You know, a promotional for guinea pig. Where do you get a guinea pig? Do you have to know somebody who has a litter? Are they litters? What do you call
a bunch of litters?
What do you call a bunch?
Litters. Yeah.
Is that what do you call a bunch of guinea pig? Like, you know, like a lions. What are lions? A den? Not a den. It's, they have these weird names for them, right? What's a lions that have a weird name?
A pride of lions.
As opposed to pride of the Yankees, who of course was. Pride of lions. What do they call a group of guinea pigs? Do you know?
Stupid.
Very dumb. Although, you know, they're really not, you know, rodents are not, they're not dumb at all.
No, your guinea pigs are not dumb?
They need to be trained to do a lot of things and they're very cooperative.
They let people scientists do anything
for them.
Because
of their physiology?
I don't know.
No, I train my rats. I have my rats trained, seriously.
Do they also have some component with humans that are, you know, make them good guinea pigs?
Is that the follow-up book to I Had Rats in College? I Had My Rats Trained, Volume 2, by Dr. David Royce.
There's a physiological similarity of some sort where they're better than using a dog, or they just don't want to use a dog because it's more domestic?
No, physiologically, the rats are closer than other small animals. So, you know, there is, and they're bred to be, but yeah, no, we, rats that I had, they would get to know who, they could identify me, the rat I had, would know when I came in the room, they'd know when a stranger came in the room.
Yeah.
And if you really watch, they're pretty smart.
They really are. And they're kind creatures. They can get, they're very fearless. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to put her back in 1 second. Frank, if I don't,
what? It's okay.
She will give me a severe bite on my neck when I'm holding her.
Cause she don't want, she does not want to be held.
Doesn't care what I'm going to do in return.
She doesn't want to be held by you. That's why. She wants to be free.
It's your voice that's skeezing her.
I saw the movie Ben. I know what that's all about.
Please, I'm going to cover her ears now. I'm putting her back.
Concubine, is that really her name, I wonder? I don't know. Do you listen to Cthulhu Chronicles? Dusty Nathan, who has returned from back to our social media, after a long, he's actually waving, he's making her wave. I wish you could see this. No, I don't. I'm glad you can't see it. It's, and Dr., the esteemed Dr. David Reese, who come to us from Palo Alto. You're not in Palo Alto. You're one of those places.
San Diego.
Yeah, oh, you are. My favorite place in the whole world.
Sometimes esteemed, sometimes parboiled, now and then fried.
Yeah, that's, I thought I recognize the name of your place there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're flying back to Boston someday.
Yeah, and you go back and forth a lot, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much every month these days. You know, I'm working both coasts.
Wow, that's not that grueling. I mean, I used to do it. Dusty used to do it. Dusty's from.
Dusty, talking about me.
No, well, we just wanted to say that we're glad to have you back on social media. We're not going to ask you where you go when you disappear for like months. Do you go on hiatus? Do you go on a sabbatical or something? Social network sabbatical?
Yeah, he
disappears. And maybe he does what you're saying you should do, Dr. David. Maybe you call you Dr. David. That way I don't have to.
You know what? I had some personal tragedy in life.
Oh, no.
And I took a little time off. Tell you what. I just didn't want to deal with it.
I
didn't
understand.
Want to deal with people and
totally
basically listen. What happened.
We're not asking you to reveal your personal.
Okay.
It's fine.
Saying is basically what happened is, I'm still not 100% behind it, but, I'm trying to get back in the daily throes of things. In fact,
they are throws.
This
too,
is a good segue. No. Some good news. This came in today.
Okay, we can't see it, so you have to. I mean, we can see it, but you have to describe whatever you're going to show for the audience, because I can't
even. Can you see that?
I can't even read it. You're going to go back on radio? WBCB? Are you going back on radio?
Okay. Yeah. Now here, read the letter if you can see it.
Dear Mr. Nathan, we would never ever agree to terms to have you broadcasting again on our station. This you find good?
No, here. You're going to love this because this is a legit station. You ready? We're excited to announce a new show on Sundays, WBCB 1490 AM. Tune in live from 11 till noon to listen to the area's hottest action. Veteran columnist, Dusty Nathan, blah, 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 blah. Now, it's going to be audio and visual. Uh-huh. It's going to be archived.
And you're going to
stream? So you can watch the show and listen. And the other thing is the Merrill Reese owns the show, owns the station.
Who's that?
And he calls the Eagles games.
Oh, okay.
So they're giving me the slot on Sundays that leads into the Eagles and the Phillies.
You better not show those Eagles your guinea pig because they go after them.
believe me, my guinea pig's been out many, many times.
Okay, all right.
Not out of the house.
Well, that sounds good, Doug. So we can promote that. Will you be streaming? Because radio's not local anymore. Will you be able?
I will be streaming audio and visual.
Oh, this is exciting.
Wow, great.
And it is a good, we've got a good signal. Here's the signal.
That's
here,
way up there, 1490. That's way up there on the AM. Way up there.
So I'm a little excited about that.
What are you going to do? Are you going to do a sport? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm also doing
hour.
A column under my real name, which isn't Dusty.
No.
And
Lee Horowitz, I think, right? Isn't that it?
I'm not going to say my real name.
No,
because
never
I write under this name and I run under that name.
Yeah, but can you write checks? Do you use
but
a real
I'm
name
also,
to write
no,
checks?
I'm also doing a new column. So basically I've decided to come out of semi-retirement. I'll
Good.
Tell you why. Because I wasn't doing very well working independently on my memoirs.
Oh, that's right.
Words,
you were writing your memoirs.
I've written 8 chapters, 100 and some pages.
Wow.
But I didn't have the continuity. And I figured, you know what? I'm just pissing away time, period. You know what I mean? I found myself day after day, not that I'm one of those people that worries about, you know, pissing away time.
No, you're a radio guy. That's all radio guys do is piss away. That's all we do is piss away time. We're not like Dr. Reese, who takes care of people. I mean, this is a man who does something for mankind. We do nothing.
He worries about pissing away time because
we do nothing.
He would have gotten through medical school had he not been more serious than you and I are, even though he's got the playful side.
Well, I don't know. Right. I mean, you have a very playful side.
What?
I was in the back row reading the racing form during most of the lectures.
I know, but I'm just saying. But for a doctor, you have a very playful side.
But a lot of people who read, that's all they do, and they never move beyond that. You did it like you had candy. That was your candy to right to the heavy things that you were reading and learning.
Yeah, no, if I wasn't working at the racetracks, I wouldn't have made it through med school. I mean, it was so great after a day of dealing with life and death junk to watch animals running in a circle. It kept me sane, and I mean that seriously.
So, in other words, that was where you blew off the energy of all the pressure.
Yep.
But what I mean is, I can't even imagine what it's like going, through medical school as far as, because I'm not a big science guy.
I like this stuff.
I'm good at, like history, a little bit of English, but.
But getting through that.
Math and science now. You had to go to actual medical school before you specialized in psychiatry. You had to go.
Right? Yeah.
And work in an ER.
And I hated almost every day of it. I like doing surgery, but I knew I didn't have the personality for it.
Isn't that funny to hear somebody say, actually, I like, that's a strange thing to hear someone say. Well, I liked surgery. There was just something about putting your fingers in and moving the thing and what? That's weird.
Which makes me curious, what was it about that you knew that you couldn't handle that type of lifestyle had you wanted to specialize in that?
I didn't want the life and death decisions on my head every day. In psychiatry, you're doing therapy over the long term, and it's not like you can make one mistake and kill someone.
Wow.
Have you lost a lot of patients in psychiatry over decades?
Knock on wood, I've never had anyone that I lost to psychiatric issues while I was treating them.
Why would you equate that? Why would you equate a psychiatrist and somebody who would kill themselves? That shouldn't be equated to somebody
who's in your business, Frank. Just like a surgeon you're going to have people that are alcoholics and go out and get in a fist fight with their wife and then get on the freeway and kill themselves. You're going to have another guy that overdoses. You're going to have another guy, you gave him Ambien, he took the whole bottle.
I think that's a lot.
I've had people that I heard afterwards bad things happen.
Skatola Chronicles, by the way.
Never while I was actually treating them.
That's what I mean. It's a little different than if you're fixing a person's body and,
Was that a rude question to ask to begin with?
I don't know. It just seems, I just don't think you could, I wouldn't equate those two at all.
What's that?
No, I wouldn't equate the fact of like I'm a psychiatrist. I'm like, these people. These people didn't work. It didn't work for these people when I was treating them, and I'm a heart. And I'm taking a guy's kidney out, and he dies of a heart attack. I don't equate those two. I understand what he means by in life and death.
There's a difference because in surgery, it's more if you actually make a mistake. Whereas in psychiatry, it's more if you're missing something or just someone's not responding. So there are differences, but there are also similarities. But it's not the same day-to-day pressure.
Well, it's how you feel.
If you're an ER doctor, you're going to lose a lot more patients than an eye surgeon or a psychiatrist.
You know what? New York doctors, like everybody who lives in New York, have no patients. This is Cotola Chronicles and Dusty Nathan, who's coming back on the air, everyone. I used to be on Dusty's show.
We had a good time, too.
Yeah, we had some fun. And then later on, when I started this garbage, he came on my show. And then he introduced me to Dr. Reese.
Reese?
Portuguese.
You know what? I call him Dr. Dave. I give him the respect of the doctor.
I like, yeah,
you know,
the
when
doctor.
You get to know,
I know other Dr. Daves though. How many, I'm gonna get all confused.
You know what? When you get to be,
Dr. Brainenstein.
When you get to be Reese's age, it's like a byline in a newspaper.
Oh, that's not, so that's
no, hold on.
Unfair.
Let me finish. You're not letting me finish the point. When you first start, the word doctor, when you're 29, might have more significance than when you're 59.
Right. Right.
Because you're finished impressing people. You've been practicing, what your dream was to become somebody who could help people. Yeah. You've been doing that for 30 years. The word doesn't mean anything.
Well, you shouldn't be practicing anymore. You should know what you're doing.
Sort of like
thank you.
Right? No, think about it. What's a byline mean after you've had 12,000 bylines?
Yeah, and when you see good doctors and bad doctors, it's like, you know, all that stuff, the, what you have on your wall, what you call yourself, doesn't mean...
You have nothing on your wall. There's nothing on your wall. Dusty, on the other hand.
I have a side sheet music from Strikey Valley.
I know, but that's, you know, that's just too good to be true. But the thing is that I look at him, I look at Dusty, and behind him, tell us what some of those, pictures you have on, framed on your wall, Dust. What are some of the, there's a million pictures back there. And there's also diplomas?
No.
What the hell's on there?
Excuse me. All right. I went past the master's, my friend.
You're doctor? Are you Dr. Dusty?
No, I never got any further than that, but I'm just saying. Okay, great. I have a master's in education. I have a bachelor's in history. So I'm an educated man.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, a lot of good. That did you.
No, that's what you're looking at back there.
Is that what bought you that terrific apartment?
Yeah, that's it.
Now all those there. Letters.
There you go. Those are letters. I even got letters on the wall.
You know what I said? And I wondered, I asked Dr. Reese if anyone ever looked at him and said he looked like Larry David. Do you think he looks at all like Larry David?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I see it.
I think he's funnier. Yeah. I think you're a lot funnier when you want to be.
I think when he looks good. I think you're back in California, are you?
I'm in San Diego, yeah. I said I'm going to Boston Sunday, but I've been here for a couple of weeks.
Oh, just a couple of weeks?
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Where are you stationed now? In the east or the west?
Mostly on the east. I mean, 40 weeks a year on the east coast.
Okay, because you got a tan. I thought maybe you moved back west.
Yeah, but I've just been out here 2 weeks.
Does he look like he got purple shading, though? Where do you get purple tans? I lived in San Diego.
Looks like
I get
he's been out on the beach or plucking
purple,
or something.
Yeah. Purple tans.
I was out a bit.
How are you doing with your daily walking?
Not as well as I used. I got all sorts of problems with my feet and crap, so I wish I was doing well with that, but not where I was last year.
They're ouchy, huh?
Yeah. They're old. They're old. The rest of me stays totally young, but my feet are old.
Yeah. I've had some gout. I never told you guys how I got gout.
In 1995, I went to
Maine to do a story.
Okay. Yeah. Go.
And everywhere in Maine, in those days, it might be 12 or 15 now at the time, $9.99 in a nice restaurant. It didn't have to be fancy, but it was a good restaurant. Everywhere up there was $9.99, a huge potato, and a huge lobster. $9.99. Okay. Now, let me tell you, I ate so much lobster. They even have it at McDonald's. They have called lobster.
McLobster.
Lobster bun. Yeah, McLobster.
McShell.
It's, they actually have, you know, a lobster at McDonald's. Well, the bottom line is I ate so much lobster over 3 days. I was in the hotel. I got up. I was in excruciating, you know, gout.
Yeah.
You know, gout's like childbirth.
That's painful. Yeah.
So I went to the emergency room. I'm, you know, a long way from home and the guy said, my feet were swollen and red and, you know, he said, you've got gout. I have to take a blood test, but I'm pretty sure it's your uric acid. So he says, where are you from? I said, blah, 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 you know, Philadelphia area. He goes, have you been eating a lot of seafood up here? And I rolled my eyes and said, I've eaten about 5 lobsters in the last 3 days. He goes, that was the first time I ever had, you know, you take pills and.
That's that old joke, right? Do you eat seafood? All the food.
Everything I see.
Lobster.
So anyway, that's how I got gout. But and yeah, you've got to, that's a painful condition.
And I keep it all to myself. I'm very shellfish about my leading lobsters. And, I had it last year. And they don't know. It was really stupid. Everything I get takes forever for doctors to find. You know, but that's where I got Dr. Futtenstein, who I was talking to, Dr. David, about the first time I heard the expression difficult historian. Do you know the expression, Dusty?
No.
I see. A lot of people don't know that. The doctor called me a difficult historian. Now you have a BA, you said, in history. Are you a?
But I don't know. Difficult historian. No, but do you notice this camera's doing its own toggling here?
Yeah. People don't. They're not. Yeah, nobody's seeing you though. So except us. So you didn't know about it. Well, enough about.
I just stopped it.
You should know what a difficult historian. What is a difficult historian? Since you are a history person. The doctor knew because only doctors know.
I can
tell
you a lot, but I'm not going to hurt you with the information that I have.
That's
fine.
That's okay. I know where you're parked. And I have, I have friends in your neighborhood, okay? This is Cthulhu Chronicles.
I actually had a harness trainer once say that to me.
They know where you're parked?
He didn't say those words. He went like this. If I were you. Yeah. And he was the leading, at the time, was the leading trainer at the Meadowlands. And he went like this. We were in my car at Garden State. Uh-huh. And he said to me, if I were you, I'd worry when I got in the car in the morning.
You know,
I went like this, get the fuck out of
here. Yeah, you're tough. You know, a trainer said that to me, a harness trainer said that to me. He says, I know where you're parked. And I said, yeah, well, I know when you're parked out. So don't get smart with me.
That's right.
Hey, I can tell
Chicago stories. Oh, Chicago. Isn't that funny? Chicago now completely void, except for what? In Springfield, where they run around?
How about Sam McKee? I know your listeners. I know your listeners. It's a very cult audience for harness racing, but.
They're not. My audience is not, but.
But yes, we knew about 53, was it?
Well, 54, you're in your 55th year or however they counted. Yeah, what a shame, huh? I mean, what can you say? What do you say? I knew Sam well because I was at, I knew him because a couple of reasons. We're always, my son and I, ever since my son got involved in the business, we were at the Breeders' Crown and we're always at the Hamiltonian and reporting there and doing stuff. And Sam was so, from the very beginning, he really took to Ray and he brought him into the booth where he calls the races, which is great. Cause nobody had ever even invited me in there, you know, he brought in Ray. He was just so wonderful to Ray and always, you know, and just a great guy. And he's one of those rare people. Every once in a while, you know this, you must hear this too, Dr. Dave too. Every once in a while you run into someone who no one can say anything bad about. Right? It's rare.
That's sort of the opposite of me.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly. And me too. And
hey,
me too.
What?
I mean, really.
It's really true because another guy like that is Marv Bachrod.
No, not true. Because Marv, I love Marv, but
Marv,
you know, I didn't know till recently that he's a hoarder. Did you know he's a hoarder?
Yes, I did.
You knew that. See, you knew that.
I've been to his house before a few times.
Oh, my God. When I heard that, it was hilarious because, you know,
told you that?
I'm not revealing my source, but I knew Marv because I was his editor. I was his editor for a while.
You were my editor, too.
I was your editor, too.
Here's my point.
Yeah, I did change your point. But the point is, Dr. Reese could tell us, right? How many people do you know that you could say... I mean, it's going to be rare, isn't it? If there's even one or two that you never hear anything bad about, even if you don't like them.
Right? No, it's rare, but I've run into
it's
people.
Very rare, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Because somebody's always got something nasty to say about you, even if they say it out of jealousy. Actually, the worst critics are your wife, your kids, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean? The people you're closest to, you know. Yeah. What is that expression?
You suck. Dr. Reese, how do you, this is one thing about your profession, and that is that,
what is that expression?
Dr. Reese, you have to have, I mean, it's professionally, of course, there are people, and you know this too, Dusty, aren't there just people who you meet or you know about these, or whatever, and you don't even know why you don't like them? There's just something about them.
Yeah.
It's a vibe, it's a feel, it's something, right?
You know?
How
do that'll happen. Sometimes you go into a place to, and a waitress is in a nasty mood. And right away,
I'm not talking about giving you any evidence. A person gives you no evidence of why you should dislike them. You look and you go, ugh.
Not too much. Not me, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what I mean. Now, doctor, right, does that, you have to deal with people you know, face to face, person to person, and you know, intimately, at least thought wise. So,
yeah.
Do you ever sit there and go, God, I just don't know why I don't want this guy, but or this guy. It's just like, I just don't. I know you can't say that. I'm not trying to put you in a corner, but yeah. How do you deal with something like that?
Well, I mean, a lot of times, right? Once you get to know the person, you find the good parts and you sort of hook on to that. But there's some people.
It's the difference between you and me.
but there's some people that are just, you know, yeah. not necessarily nasty, but just difficult, yeah. boring. And, you know, sometimes you do what you need to do. And, yeah. you know, if it's not working, I just say, you know, this isn't working. And I don't blame them. So, you know, this just doesn't seem to be fitting right. And usually they know it also. And
it's not a good match.
You yeah, can it's always, not a good match, no yeah. hard feelings.
Or you could,
you know, that's
good. Yeah. That's dealing with the regular thing. I would go, excuse, I think our time is up. And the guy would go, yeah, I've only been here 5 minutes. Yeah, it seemed like 5 minutes to you, but it was an hour to me. Come back next time. I don't know how you deal with that, but, our skills as communicators, I think they're very bad. Now, Dusty, you got, listen to me. I hear my father going,
got,
you have, English, studies in you. And I can't believe how people.
How bad I write.
No, I'm talking about just people, how they do not realize that saying things simply is how you get across your feeling.
Very true.
And not, people reiterate, and I've been on this campaign for a long time, the making up of words, people who say things and it repetitive, they could say something very simply. Now we're talking about difficult historians, and here I am, a difficult historian, telling people how to say things simply.
Well, that's what I was saying before about Dave. I don't like the New York Times on Sunday because I don't want to read a three-page jump, you know, on something about Mars. But somebody who has a science background may, you know, they have some great writing in that newspaper.
What the heck does that have to do with what I just said? What does that have to do with what I just said? I'm talking about you and I talking.
Earlier I was saying something about it takes a certain type of person to get through math and science and all that other stuff.
I see.
In other words, what you're saying is today's newspapers like the USA Today have 4-inch and 6-inch stories.
Right.
Well, there's also 120-inch stories and 200-inch stories and paid stories that run in a series over 3 days. The point is, yes, I think today or most people rather would rather have it quick and simple.
140 characters.
Well, yeah, but even those people don't necessarily express themselves just in talking to people. And this has always happened. This has happened to me because I grew up in a world of non-communicators. People who said things got so upset about trying to express themselves that they would go, "You know what I mean," which I hate. I hate those words. You know what I mean?
It's one of my bad expressions.
I don't know what you mean. You know what I mean. If I knew what you mean, we wouldn't even have this conversation because I would know.
It's a crutch.
Because you get into some imbroglio that of expressing yourself or what have you, right?
I'll have people ask me questions like on Twitter or something. And, you know, like I can't answer it. Even if I string together 10 tweets, right. I can't do justice. But that's what we're getting used to, is having to sort of fit everything into that. And there's a lot that gets lost. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that's conveyed, but there's a lot that gets lost.
Depth has gotten lost. People don't appreciate.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, depth, but I'm talking about people who want to, I am hungry. Okay. That's very simple. I am hungry. People will not say I am hungry. You know, they'll go into a monologue, and if you tell them, what do you want? You know, and then they just can't think about it and be quiet and then tell you what they want. And this stuff is going though. This is terrible. Bad English, incorrect English, all this stuff is going into all the communication, arenas, right?
Well, you know why? Because now it'll self-correct. If you're texting something, it'll change the word. Not just the spelling, it'll change, you know, Grammarly, for example.
Yeah,
but change it to proper grammar too.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but the point is that a weatherman got on to the, to his, weather forecasting thing one day, and he said there was tornadic activity. And I said, wait a second. In all my life, and I've been around a lot longer than him, have I ever heard tornadic? If that is a way that we use, then is there, he never says there's hurricanic, there's cyclonic, there's cyclonic, you can, I mean, all of a sudden everyone was going, oh yeah, it's tornadic activity. You know, and it's like, well, you just make up a word or say something, and then everyone goes, oh, that's okay. And then we have to wait. It's not even in the dictionary. And you have to wait until it, and of course there's the repetitive stuff. We know, you know, people talk about, still talk about hair, you know, hairy werewolves and, you know, blood sucking vampires. I mean, blood sucking vampire. What are they? It's a root beer sucking vampire. It's a weird vampire. He sucks root beer.
Where's your camera, Frank?
It's not on this, on my other computer. Well, you want to see what I look like?
Yeah.
You could go to Google and Google my face. You
know, I'm not Googling anything. I wanted to talk to you, but go ahead.
I put it up there because I do, I've got two offices now, see. The one down here.
What do you do up there?
I do a lot of my writing up there, mostly, you see. And then I transfer it down here and go upstairs.
You really need a cam when you're writing.
Well, yeah, when I'm doing these shows, because this isn't television, I need, no, I need a cam to show my ass, because I get on to, what? Are the guinea pigs listening?
Shh. Oh. They could be.
The kids.
I want to tell you, they have one foul habit.
Who?
You know that one? Expression?
He has one, Dr. Reese, he has
one. You know that expression?
Come on. What?
Eat shit and die.
I've heard it. Yeah, you say that?
And they, no, unabashedly, they walk around, they drop one down, and then they look up at you, look down at it, and they can't resist. They're like,
the guinea pigs?
They eat that thing up so quick.
Guinea pigs?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's why, pig, maybe that's where
the thing that is skeezy, but otherwise than that, they're very clean, and so are mice and rats.
Yeah. Guinea.
They're clean.
Why was guinea, why did guinea become would it be a euphemism for Italians? Why did that become, would that be a euphemism?
I actually know the answer to this question.
Do you? Good. Let's hear it, because I'd like to know that.
Okay. When they left and went to the UK and they got to London, they were, manual laborers. And those with papers got paid a guinea a day.
Oh.
And those without papers from Italy got paid, hay pence an hour.
And without papers, where WAP came from.
Where WAP, without papers.
Yeah.
So over here, the man would scream when you came up to get paid guinea, and over here he would scream WAP.
Isn't
and
that
if you true? Were a WAP, you were without papers. If you were a guinea, you got a guinea for the day. Guinea meant you had your papers.
They teach
you that. How's that?
Teach you that in med school, doctor? Did you know that?
No, I learned that. I didn't learn that in med school either.
For unlawful carnal knowledge is an acronym. What is it? For unlawful carnal knowledge.
I didn't know, I didn't know.
That's what
oh
it means.
Oh my God.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's what you were arrested for doing.
For unlawful
carnal knowledge.
Oh my God.
That's where the word comes.
Let's spell it again. Go ahead.
For unlawful carnal knowledge.
You know how many people worldwide right now are unplugging their pods? Huh? From their ear?
No, they're used to it by now. This is alternative broadcasting. And
they're throwing them at the passenger in the next seat, at the head of the guy.
Did you hear this?
Yeah, right.
What the for unlawful carnal knowledge was that? In any event,
for unlucky.
I like things like that. I like the origins of things, and I like that. I like that kind of stuff. I'm always when I was a musician, when I first learned to play guitar and stuff, and everybody was going nuts in the '60s about all the people in the '60s. You know what I did? I went back further. Where did these guys get all this crap from? Right? And that's how I learned all the stuff, that's how you learn names like, Robert Johnson and things like that. Because you go back, because these guys are not, what makes them so special? And I like to do that with everything, with language, not with everything. I'm sorry. That's a lie. I don't do it with everything, but I always do question, don't you? What is that, Dr. Reese? Is that, what makes a mind that inquisitive? Is it the fact that I feel so stupid?
It's deep mental illness.
It is. Something we have highlighted throughout the years here at Cthulhu Chronicles.
You heard it here first, right? On Cthulhu's Chronicles.
Well, as Steve Allen used to say, but anyway, we have Dr. Reese, who is a bicoastal yeah. psychiatrist. How many years?
I can use any bathroom I want.
How many years did it take until you could sit down and go, you know what? I'm a medical doctor and I'm a psychiatrist. How many years of study is all that?
Until I felt, to actually become a psychiatrist? Let's see.
Because you got to get a doctor right?
4 years of med school, 4 years of residency. You know, and then I was in private practice for 30 years.
So how many years, 2 or 4 years of college before med school?
4 years.
So 12 years.
I have 5 years. I was an engineer initially.
Well, you had to train on a train?
Yeah.
You were going to engineering.
I was a chemical engineer and then biomedical engineering, and then I wandered into medical school from there.
See, I said on a train.
You already got your degree in that.
Yeah. My degree was in chemical engineering.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a second. Chemical engineer. Did you know Ram Dass?
I know of him.
Chemical engineer. Wasn't he a chemical engineer?
Yes, he was.
Timothy Leary again.
When he was Richard Alpert. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, someone, he knew Ram Dass's name. You know, once I'm in LA when I was, with people who were in the business, and I'm sitting in a restaurant and, with a couple of people and producers or whatever. And I said, you know, sitting over there, I said to one of them, I said, that's Timothy Leary. He was sitting at this table. Right? Yeah. And this, I have so many stories like this. Sitting at this table, and I went, and it's like, I can just turn to my left and say hello or whatever. So I went, and they went like, oh, you mean, you know, da-da-da-da. I went, yeah. So I said, I just had to turn around. I said, Dr. Leary, hello, Dr. Leary, you don't know me, but it's very nice to see you in person. And he leaned in and he went, and this is not verbatim, this is just the stuff I heard. He went, the vibrational frequency that is now emitting itself from the planets that are to the east of the sky are definitely making us all feel a little edgy. And I said, okay, nice to meet you. Excuse me, I have to go back to planet Earth. I said, nice to meet you.
No, but I went to Esalen a number of times back when I first came out to California. And I knew some of the people who were doing some of the LSD research and were totally sane and had hundreds of trips. And I could tell you stories that I still don't know whether they were true or not. But
did you care?
Hey, you want some trivia, Jesse?
If they were good stories, Jesse, did you care?
I did, because if 1/20th if it was true, it means we don't understand the fabric of reality at all.
That sounds like something Dr. Leary would have said. We don't understand the fabric of reality at all.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, the fabric of
reality. The fabric of
reality. Well, after all those trips, you know, something happened to him, you know. Yeah. He wasn't even looking at me. He was looking through me. He was looking at the cells inside of my eyes. He was looking at me. There was no way I could have said my name and he would have even understood. Yeah, he would probably went, on Venus, your name is Kankanko.
No, I mean, I talked to people talking about out-of-body experiences and all, and as sane as anyone. You know, I mean, it just sounded absolutely sane. They had no reason to lie to me.
Yeah.
And telling me these things that I still don't know what to make of it.
We'll have to talk sometime about, have you ever talked or had patients who claimed they were abducted?
No.
It goes out. That would be
I've heard weird stories, but that's one I've never come across.
There are tons of them, aren't there, Dusty? Your name in Venetian, Dusty.
What is my name in Venetian?
Katanskin! Katanskin!
Hodgkin?
Katanskin! Don't you know Venetian? Oh, God. See, I knew that if we got together again, we would talk about any number of subjects, and they would be fascinating. And that's why people continue to listen. This is Cotolo Chronicles. You know, Dusty, I was telling everybody next week there's somebody, I don't know if you know her, but...
A message just came up.
Uh-oh, what? Uh-oh. It said, Dusty, your guinea pig is on fire.
Do you see the message?
No. How do I see a message? How would I see a message?
You got to open the chat box.
What chat box?
Dave, do you see the message?
You see the message?
Something popped up and then it disappeared.
What?
It's there. It's there.
Well, who is it from? Is it someone who wants to say something? Is listening? What? Who is it? What is he doing?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it here.
Dusty, Nick, and Dr. Reese, although you'll be in Boston, yeah. and but Dusty would find this fascinating. You'd find it fascinating, too. You're a pop culture guy. Next week on my show, is a young lady who's younger than us. She wrote a book called So LA. You might know of her, Dusty. I know you know of her. Her name is Stacy Lane Wilson.
Oh, okay.
You know her?
No.
Okay. She is the, she's the daughter of Don Wilson, who was the man who wrote, who was a member of the Ventures, one of the founding members of the Ventures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He wrote Walk, Don't Run and Hawaii 5-0 and some.
That was the first song I ever played on the guitar.
It's the first one I ever taught my son. Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great song to learn. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
She's going to be on, and her mother was a model. I forgot her mother's name, but and she's written a book called So L.A., and she's a fast, she grew up in that area. Dusty Nathan tagged me on Facebook, it said. So we've been tagged, Dr. Reese.
Okay. Let me put in a quick plug for my son.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you go to, Madonna's web.
What?
Site or vote yesterday, Madonna.
Madonna.
You've heard of her? Madonna, yeah.
Yeah, well, her website?
A 12-minute video, which my son edited, and he's in there as the editor. But if you go to her website,
what is her website? Is it Madonna.com?
I assume it's just Madonna, or it's also posted on Vogue. But it's a 12-minute video that he did all the editing on. It's his biggest project to date.
And his name is
Sam Reese. Instagram is Samerei, Samurai, and you can see where, But, pretty proud of the kid.
Yeah.
It was so strange. I was in New York a couple of weeks ago having dinner with him and we're waiting for a call from Madonna.
Wow. You know, if Madonna called, would we even know it was her, Destiny? Would anybody know it was her if she just called?
Yeah. If she calls you all the time, wouldn't mean anything, would it?
The call was coming through the photographer.
That's great.
That's fantastic. Yeah, he's very talented. I've seen some of his videos.
Yeah.
So he's into editing?
He's very talented.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
Very proud of him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does shoots a lot himself, also videos, but that one he edited.
Stacy may know him because she's into that stuff, too, and she's been on L.A. She's been on, Entertainment Weekly and all that other junk stuff and everything. So I thought, though, because I said you grew up in – well, you know why? Listen to this. I'll give you this really quickly. She had called me a couple of months ago. Never heard of her. She got in touch with me because she knew – she found out that I knew a guy named Al Bayhuth. Do you remember Al Bayhuth? Al Bayhuth, a Western harness racing old guy, right? And I knew him.
And Al Bateman?
Bayhuth.
How do you spell it?
Bayhuth. Al Bayhuth.
Hold on a minute.
From Western harness.
Vaguely remember that last name. Vaguely.
Well, he was very kind to her, and she was writing the book at the time, and she called to ask since I knew him, she found out somehow, and asked me to write something about him. I didn't get into the book, but that's how I met her. But having grown up in L.A., I went, geez, I know somebody who grew up in L.A.
That's cool. That's
good.
And
it was like you. And I didn't know at the time that her father was Don Wilson or whatever. But having a book like that. Dr. Reese, you still don't have a book out, right?
No, I'm still working on it, but not sure quite where to go, what direction. Mm. So one of these days.
Well, you should get a
book. You know, I'm very disappointed that mine wasn't ready by now. But, I mean, you know, sometimes a project comes in its own time.
I don't know. I got so many books out.
it could take 6 months. You know, some people have written songs
yeah.
that were number one songs. No, in 15 minutes, you know, even Mac and Jagger. And other times they had a storyline for a thought.
But you're just writing this in one book, and
it didn't release it for 7 years.
Yeah.
10 years.
You could go to blurb.com, and I have two memoir books. One of them called The Molotov Memoirs, another one called...
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah. More Molotov Memoirs. And then,
I haven't read it, but I've seen it.
These are books that are available. They're available in digital now, and, so they're cheaper. And these books are, this is things, not only things that happened to me, but things I think happened to me. So it was very easy to, this is the closest thing to an autobiography I could write without telling the truth. So it's a wonderful, I think, you know, because, you know, ultimately it's all a bunch of crap anyway. How much do you remember when you're writing your memoirs and stuff, right? I mean, you're going to go some, right, Dr. Reese? Isn't that true? People who write memoirs, yeah. You got to rely. How do you know, even know that you remember some of that stuff as you do describe it, right?
You know, it's funny because you could tell it, you know that expression, that they used in Nazi Germany?
You
tell
suck?
Tell a lie. What is that expression?
You
tell
suck. I bet.
No, you suck, right. tell a lie over and over again, it becomes the truth.
Yeah, we know that.
So in other words, if you were to say, but you said it 1,000 times. Oh yeah, I went with, Madonna to the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
But you told that to 1,000 chicks you met. Yeah. Well, 40 years later, you might say to yourself,
Maybe I did.
Go to the Eiffel Tower with Madonna?
I did base this on certain things. I just embellished it and made myself a little bit more important in the, but that's why people go, how do we know what you're telling me is the truth? You know? And I go, well, what the hell's the difference anyway? You know?
What are different your, type of lies.
Don't you love
too.
That? Don't
in
you
words,
tell
some? Some that are intentional.
When someone asks you, what?
Yeah,
I did. I made plenty of intentional. Yeah, yeah. And some things really happen.
Some, you know,
I demand my privacy.
Someone's doing it.
I demand my privacy. I demand my privacy. So my memoirs are not. Besides, I figured I have to make my life interesting. The only way to do that is to really add stuff. Because let's face it, you know, right? I mean, who cares?
Everybody lies to themselves.
Who cares to read? Yeah, but I know I'm doing it.
Two very sage things. I'm about to say something sage for the first time in my life.
I feel free. What?
You suck. Okay, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say it once.
Go ahead.
There's two types of lies. But obviously the worst type of lie that everybody does is lie to themselves. It's like looking at your waistline and saying, you know what? I haven't gained that much weight. You know what I mean? Because you say that to yourself. You don't want to say, oh my God, which would actually make you do something.
Yeah.
So, and the other lie is this. If you told, I hate to say, I want to word it right where I don't want to sound.
Well,
nasty.
Hurry up because we're running out of
if
time.
If you were to tell.
What?
A very average looking girl.
Yeah.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
Every one of them will believe you if you say it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.
Sincerely.
Fine.
So the point of the matter is, you know, there are lots of different types of lies.
Well, there's lots of ways to be beautiful too.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Thank you very much for that.
Very true.
I'm ending it all with a real, well, potent. A potent truth.
A serious note. It's very true.
Me, the difficult historian by the name of Frank Catolo with Dusty Nathan and Dr. David Reese. I wish you both, of course, great health always. And I hope, and we'll do this again, please. Okay. Don't disappear on me.
Sounds good. Great to see you, Dave. And
that's the respect.
Fade to black.
Let's stay in touch. And to give me more information about the show, I'll promote it. I'll scream it all over the place, okay?
I appreciate that very much.
Thank you very much, men. And you are men.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care.
There they go. Oh, boy. What a pair of guys. What a pair of guys. Am I supposed to be doing something right now? Yes, I'm supposed to be getting going. And we need to go. Is somebody say that here? Oh. I told you it was going to be quick and exciting, and it was quick and exciting. Dusty Nathan, Dr. David Reese, what a bunch of guys. Bunch? What a trio make we. In the meantime, don't forget Stacy Lane Wilson next week, and a lot of good stuff and fun talking to. In here, Akitolo Chronicles. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. We've said a lot. I've talked a lot. They talked a lot. To talk show. I'll leave you now because I have nothing more to say.